Sometimes I sit there on a question, but I notice I have preconceptions about how I evaluate my practice.
Right.
And just kind of undermine it from the beginning. It's like even if I choose one of the wholesome practices, or metta or something, and I get 10 minutes into it and I start getting on myself not doing it well enough.
Yes, oh yeah.
Just like I have preconceptions for how I'm assessing my practice.
Yeah.
So I don't know if you can speak towards like how to assess, but I imagine you might say wholesome dhammas increase.
Well, yeah, but I think it's that's the reality. As soon as you start assessing it, you're always going to come up short. I think a lot of it is recognizing that there's certain aspects that you have to relate to from a place of faith and confidence. And then take glimpses of it. I mean, obviously we use an intellectual rigor in investigating, but as soon as we start assessing, then the personal gets in very quickly. But it's sort of like, from time to time we have to pay attention to what's it feel like, and what's my emotional well-being, what's my degree of clarity. But as soon as you start paying too much attention to it or trying to concretize it, then that's where the sense of self builds up. So it's a lot of it is just picking up and from time to time and getting a sense of confidence or more of an intuitive sense of, all right, okay, this is heading in the right direction.
I find that sometimes one of the programs that runs very commonly in the mind is that if I just do something, someday I'll be good enough.
Mm.
And there's that whole looking for what will make me good enough, that's already investigating in an unhelpful direction.
Yeah.
And I mean, you can take anything in the world or spiritually, you can try to jam anything into that pattern, but the very pattern is suffering.
Yeah, the very pattern itself is suffering, which is why we have to work, sort of like stepping back. And that's where that a sense of there is a certain intellectual rigor that we apply in terms of analyzing, but then on another level we have to give it up and have a certain setting aside of the whole. Trust. We have to give a certain trust to the process.
You can also see too, like the importance of having a teacher. Because just yesterday, I was reminded of, I was talking to Mike Tindall and Bob about the fire alarm system.
Uh-huh.
It reminded me that at IMS they have this kind of alarm system where it goes to the fire department in the town.
Right.
If there's a fire, if it has an alarm, it goes off. If there's something wrong with the alarm, and it sounds exactly like the nod sound. Uh-huh. And so I was sitting in retreat, I'd never heard of the nod sound before, and all of a sudden I heard it, and I thought it was the alarm in the office, and I was like, why are they turning that off? And then I went in and checked it, and I was like, oh, God, this is coming from my head. And I got all this aversion towards it. And then they had to clear that. I was on the staff at IMS, and I was in maintenance, and so I was like, everybody wanted just some quiet, they wanted peace.
Uh-huh.
And then that afternoon, Ajahn Amaro was teaching and he introduced the nod sound, and I almost burst out laughing.
Right.
Here I am wanting peace, and they have a first conversion to it.
Uh-huh.
And so it's just that. And it's like, you might even in your meditation get what you're actually seeking, but then your underlying defilements might totally sabotage it. And so it's good.
Oh, to yeah, totally.
Have that picture there.
Yeah, yeah. Because it's how things are framed. So being able to frame things in terms of, yeah, what is wholesome and positive? What is actually aligned with peace or freedom? Seeing the value.
Also appreciated something you just said in response to Tantico's question about, like, I think it's something like, I'm walking somewhere, something like, it's like, I'm moving in the right direction.
Right.
Because I can also get hung up in, like, I guess, like, goal-oriented stuff, you know, where your expectations come and you're comparing a lot. But if I can just step back and say, yeah, but I'm walking in the right direction.
Right.
That's such a, yeah. Like, that's...
Yeah, that's a, that, yeah, because it is a, I mean, it is a problem in terms of when we, that goal-oriented habit. And, but at least to, again, where that sense of trust starts to be, well, I'm moving in the right direction and that'll take me to some sort of goal that is quite appropriate. But it, yeah, as soon as we start trying to, have I got there? How much longer do I have? How much do I get when I get there? Then it starts to, it gets all wonky then.
I found there's a way to, like, in investigating, like, my own contemplation of karma, there's a way we can apply that, wrongly apply that, like, our Judeo-Christian conditioning creeps into our contemplation of karma, so like,
yeah.
Or like some unpleasant situation arises, and I would have the thought, well, I deserve it,
right.
Because it's my karma.
Right.
But then that's like personalizing it, and that's different than what you were explaining.
Yes. Yeah, I mean that's an important aspect of it. And I think it's important for us to recognize how much, you know, how personally we take everything, and that being able to, yeah, see the burden in it, see the, because it's not a matter of, okay, I'm never going to do that again. I'm just going to have nothing. I'm going to have no self. you know, which is kind of the opposite of it. So that being able to recognize that when we say impersonal, it's something that is actually, it's an incredible relief to not carry around that burden of self. But there's a fulfillment quality in it, that arises. There's a fullness that comes from not carrying around a self.